Please turn to the first chapter of the book of James, and we want to read verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. From this one verse, we're able to learn some very important information about God. For one thing, God is the giver of every good gift and every perfect gift. That being the case, we need to express our gratitude to Him on a regular basis, and the Bible has much to say about being thankful. Well, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. For another thing, James tells us in this verse that God is the Father of lights. I've always found that to be a very interesting designation for God, but James, the Lord's brother, referred to God as the Father of lights. And for another matter, James went on to say that there is no variation or shadow of turning with God. God is dependable. The Bible has much to say about God's faithfulness. And of course, since He is faithful, we need to trust in Him. We always need to rely upon Him. Well, these are three important matters revealed in one verse of Scripture about God. But today in our lesson, we want to emphasize the fact that God is the Father of lights. That's just one point that James makes in this particular verse of Scripture. I suppose we need to begin our study by showing that the Father of lights created light. Let's go to the very first chapter in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. In the first two verses we read, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now there are many verses in the Bible which show that God is the creator of heaven and earth. I know a lot of people don't believe that. Jesus believed it. He referred to this verse of Scripture and said, "In the beginning, God created." He was referring to male and female when He was answering a question about marriage. But quite often, Jesus would answer questions by going all the way back to the beginning. So Jesus believed what this verse of Scripture says. But I want you to notice the condition of the earth at that time. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, when darkness exists, there's a need for light. Let's continue at verse 3. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now let's go a little bit later, a little bit further down in this chapter, to verse 14. And we need to point out that on the fourth day of creation, God made the lighted objects up in the sky. Verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament above of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Is there any wonder why James referred to God as the Father of lights? God created light. There was a need for light at the very beginning. God took care of that. Then on the fourth day, he created the great lighted objects that we're familiar with up in the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, some have criticized what the Bible says, that how could there be light before the sun, the moon, and the stars? Well, maybe what says too much says nothing at all. Not long ago, I bought a light fixture. I installed it. I went over to the wall and I flipped the switch and the light came on. I want to ask you a question. Did light exist before I put that fixture up? Well, I think you see the point. God made light on the first day. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I've always been impressed with that great statement. It illustrates the power of God. He spoke and things came into existence. Then on the fourth day, he created the great lighted objects up in the sky that we're familiar with. Many times when I go out at night, when I take our little doggy out for the last time, I enjoy looking up in the sky. Once in a while, I'm able to see a clear view of the moon. Sometimes I can see the stars, and I think about God's creative power. Those objects didn't get up there on their own. They did not come into existence as a result of a huge explosion that happened millions and billions of years ago. God created everything, and I'm not ashamed of that. Well, a lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people would ridicule us for believing that. That's what the Bible says. Jesus believed it. Well, no wonder that James, the Lord's brother, referred to God as the Father of lights. Well, James certainly referred to God in that way, but let's pay attention to what John said, the disciple whom Jesus loved, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Not only is God the creator of light, but John tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 5 that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. 1 John 1 and verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." I love these Bible writers, the way that they tell things so plainly and so clearly. They were inspired of God, and they wrote things that we need to know. Well, no wonder that James referred to God as the Father of lights. He created light. But in addition to creating light, John tells us that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Well, that brings us to the second point that we need to make. I think we've seen that God is the Father of lights. He created light. But as years passed, there was a need for a special kind of light. Not physical light that God had already created, but spiritual light. And when the time was right, God, the Father of lights, sent Jesus to be the light of the world. Why was it necessary for God to do that? Well, let's let Matthew tell us. Matthew chapter 4. We want to read a few verses beginning at verse 12. Now keep in mind that at the end of chapter 3, Jesus went to John at the River Jordan and was baptized. Matthew chapter 4 begins with the Lord's temptation. After he was baptized, he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness where he was tempted for a period of 40 days. And three of the temptations are recorded for us. And the Lord's example shows us how the devil can be resisted. And I think it's interesting that in verse 11, Matthew tells us, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So Jesus was tempted by Satan. Now let's read a few verses, beginning at verse 12, which emphasize the fact that Jesus came into a world of darkness. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. The Father of lights sent his Son Jesus to be the light of the world." Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. Now, we've already talked about the fact that when God created the earth, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. God took care of that. He made light. And then he made the great lighted objects up in the sky that we're familiar with. There's another kind of darkness, though, that we need to be concerned about, and that's spiritual darkness. There was a problem with that kind of darkness on the earth. God took care of it. He sent Jesus into a world of darkness to bring light. Is there any wonder why Jesus referred to himself as the light of the world on at least two occasions? Let's look at John 8 and read verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus brought light into a world of darkness, and he described himself during his ministry as the light of the world. This is not the only time. Look at chapter 9 and verse 5. In chapter 9, in verse 5, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." I love to study about the miracle that Jesus performed in John chapter 9. He gave sight to a man who was born blind. Later on, when this man was being interrogated, he said, "It's never been heard that someone gave sight to an individual who was born blind." Now, I'm quite confident that there have been occasions when people had temporarily lost their vision, and perhaps some physicians were able to do something to restore that individual's sight. But this has to do with the man who was born blind. There was no cure for that. Only someone with divine power could give him his sight. Well, that's what happened. Jesus illustrated the fact that he is the light of the world by giving sight to a man who was born into a world of darkness. He'd never seen anything in his life. I've always tried to imagine what it was like when that man was finally able to see something. Now, Jesus gave him some instructions. First, he made some clay and put it on the man's eyes and told him, said, "You go and wash in the pool of Siloam and you'll be able to see." Well, that's what the man did. He simply did what the Lord told him to do. He came and he was able to see. I would love to have been present to observe his behavior when he was able to observe things for the first time. Imagine seeing a bird for the first time. Imagine being able to see light for the first time. Well, Imagine being able to see his parents for the first time. And we could go on and on and on. Jesus blessed this man by giving him his sight. He proved through that great miracle that he is indeed the light of the world. Well, by bringing light into the world, Jesus made it possible for us to escape darkness. Look at John 12 and let's read verse 46. John 12 and verse 46, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. So by bringing light into the world, Jesus made it possible for us to escape darkness. So I think it's appropriate to refer to God as the Father of lights, first because James, the inspired writer of his letter, did. But it's appropriate for us to refer to God as the Father of lights because he created light. Furthermore, the Father of light sent his Son into the world of darkness to bring light. And oh, how grateful we need to be that God did that. There's another point that we want to emphasize. The Father of lights has a desire for his children. The Father of lights wants his children to be the light of the world. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and notice something that Jesus said toward the beginning of his great Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, let's begin at verse 14. Now, he had given the Beatitudes at the beginning of his sermon. And then he showed that his followers are to be the salt of the earth. But then he talked about light. Verse 14. Ye, speaking to his followers, are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, there's a great need for God's children to be the light of the world because the world is in a state of darkness. Now, Jesus came to bring light into the world of darkness, and how grateful we need to be that he did that. But there's still a need for light because the world is in darkness. And Jesus said that his followers are to be the light of the world. Now, how do we accomplish that? Jesus said we do that by doing good works. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We radiate light through the good works that we do. I always like to make this observation. I certainly can't take credit for it. I heard it from Teresa's daddy many years ago. I've always tried to remember it, and I've always tried to include it when dealing with what Jesus said about his followers being the light of the world. Jesus said, let your lights shine. He did not say, shine your lights. There is a difference. Jesus said, you do my will, you do good works, and let the works speak for themselves. There's a difference between doing that and a person doing a good work and then going around and telling everybody about it. Well, the Pharisees, who were quite influential when the Lord was fulfilling his ministry, did some good things. But they did what they did for the purpose of being seen of men. Oh, they did some good works, but they were proud of them. Jesus taught his followers to avoid that mistake. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. He said, they don't have to hear about them. They may see your good works. Well, Jesus had it in the right order. Let your light shine. He didn't say shine your lights. And there is a difference. Well, it's important for God's children to be the light of the world. That's the Lord's will. Let's look at some verses now that will help us to accomplish what the Lord wants. I never cease to be amazed that the Scriptures not only teach us what God wants us to do, the Scriptures go on to show us how to accomplish the Lord's will. Well, we've established the fact that God wants His children to be the light of the world. Well, that just seems natural because God is the Father of lights. And He wants His children to be the light of the world. How do we accomplish that? Well, we've already touched on the fact that we're to let our good works speak for themselves. But let's look at some passages that give us some specific instructions that will help us to be the light of the world. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We'll read a few verses beginning at verse 12. By the way, earlier in this chapter, some instructions are given that relate to our responsibility to the state or the government. We have some responsibilities that God has given to us that we're to fulfill. I kind of get the idea that God wants His children to be the very best citizens that we can be. Well, there are some additional instructions that will help us to accomplish that. Let's read them. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Notice that in order to be the light of the world, there's a negative part, there's a positive part. Concerning the negative part, we're to cast off the works of darkness. Well, that'll keep us from being the light of the world. It just makes sense that we'd cast those things off. But then there's a positive part. Let us put on the armor of light. Well, let's look at some more detailed instructions in verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. These verses help us understand what is involved in being the light of the world. The works of darkness, and they're spelled out for us, at least some of them, in verse 13 as well as the latter part of verse 14. Those things are to be cast off. Having taken care of that, we're to put on the armor of light. And we've seen some positive things mentioned in connection with that. Well, let's go further. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we're looking at some verses that will help us to be the light of the world. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's begin at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, before a person becomes a Christian, he's described as being in darkness. But when a person becomes a Christian, his condition, his spiritual condition, is described as being light in the Lord. That being the case, when we become Christians, we're responsible for walking as children of light. Now notice that the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned in connection with walking as children of light. There's already been given a discussion of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Let's read verses 22 and 23. It seems that we'd want to pay extra special attention to bearing the fruit of the Spirit because it goes a long way to helping us be children of light. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Once again, these are some verses in Ephesians 5 that will help us to be the light of the world. But let's go further. Philippians chapter 2. Let's start at verse 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We learn from these verses that the Lord's people are to shine as lights in the world. How do we go about accomplishing that? Well, we've already read a few instructions, but let's notice what's written in these verses. For one thing, something has to be eliminated. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now that encompasses a lot, doesn't it? My Bible says all things. What's to be left out of all things? Doing them with murmurings and disputings. Having done that, we're to hold forth the word of life. These are some instructions that are designed to help us to be the light of the world. Now let's look at 1 John 1 and read verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Notice that God's people are to walk in the light as he is in the light. Those who do that have fellowship with God. Those who do that also have the assurance that the Lord's blood continually cleanses us. Now, for years, I misunderstood this verse when it says fellowship one with another. I thought that was fellowship among God's children, just because of the expression, fellowship one with another. Well, I know in our society today, there's a big problem with pronouns. Every once in a while, I read certain comments and I think, my teacher or my English teacher years ago would not have looked very favorably upon some of the grammatical rules that are followed today. Well, pronouns have a very special place in the Bible. Let's read it again. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Who is the he referring to? Look at the context. It's talking about God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we, God's people, have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with God. And we have the assurance that the Lord's blood will continually cleanse us. This verse is teaching us about having fellowship with God. If you look at the context, that's what John was writing about. We, that is God, and each Christian, has fellowship one with another. Well, that's a very special blessing. We don't enjoy that blessing by accident. There's a responsibility that we have. We must walk in the light as God is in the light. And then we have the assurance that the Lord's precious blood will continually cleanse us. Well, these are all verses that have to do with God's people being the light of the world. In the beginning, the world needed light. God took care of it. He made light. The world needed spiritual light. And God sent Jesus to provide that light. the world needs like today. And we are responsible for providing that light. Jesus said you're to be the light of the world. Through the good works that we do, others will see something very special. And Jesus indicated that it just might lead someone to glorify God. Well, for just a moment or two, let's talk about a few points that are made in Revelation concerning light, God, Christ, and the Lord's followers. Turn to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Let's begin at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Also chapter 22 and verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Isn't it interesting that in Genesis chapter 1, when God made the earth, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. God took care of that. He created light, and then he created the great lighted objects that we're familiar with up in the sky. But in heaven that John is describing, there's no further any need of the sun. There's no further need of the moon. God's children who have been the light of the world will be there. There won't be any darkness. There won't be any nighttime. God in Christ will provide all the light that is needed. Who will be able to go to this wonderful place? Well, let's let John tell us in chapter 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And, of course, there's a great invitation extended in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Well, there's a lot said in the Bible about the fact that God is the Father of lights. He created light. He sent Jesus to be the light of the world. The Father of lights also wants his children to be the light of the world. If we will serve him faithfully, we can look forward to a place where God is the light.